Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue a message I started on yesterday's broadcast that I've entitled, The Glory Restored. And I shared a scripture found in 1 Corinthians 2:14, which I'll share again. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the activity of the Spirit of man has become alive through the new birth. God told Adam and Eve that if they would eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that they would die. Now, they didn't do that immediately, physically, but their bodies were destined to die in time. Even though they lived hundreds of years, their souls were affected. Even modern science tells us today that we do not use all the capacity that our mind is capable of, our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. But the spirit of man died. There is no ability to understand the things of God. That's why I shared that scripture. We've never really, I think, looked very closely at that, because if someone is unsaved, they don't get it. They can't understand the things of God. It's foolishness, because their spirit man, if you can recall back to when you were born again, when you accepted Jesus, if you were an adult at that time, that everything became new. There was just an awareness that you never possessed before. That's what happens when our spirit man becomes alive. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And so we wanted to look at God's early dealings with man. God has always been a God of relationship and communication. He loves to communicate with His people. He loves to fellowship. We see that very early in the garden. The Lord God every day came down in the cool of the evening to walk and talk with Adam and Eve. They were able to physically behold Him, see Him, talk with Him, hear His words. Now, there is a process, there's a progression that we want to understand as God dealt with His people. This communication was disrupted, if you will, when sin entered. And it says in the early opening chapters of the Bible that when He was dealing with the patriarchs, it says, and God said, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 7, it was the first theophany, if you will, an actual appearance of the Lord, probably the pre-incarnate Christ, where Genesis 12, 7 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. He could actually perceive Him with the physical senses. And so this probably was God's way of dealing with man. For example, when Hannah was barren and she went to pray, and she was with great wrestlings and tears, she besought the Lord for a child. The boy Samuel was born, and she promised when that did occur that after he was weaned she would bring them to the temple, and he was brought under the high priesthood ministry of Eli, which of course we know from scripture he was that his line was removed. He himself knew the word of the Lord, yet his sons were wicked, who he established as priests, and it says he did not restrain them. So as a result, the sons were killed, as well as Eli fell when he heard the ark of God had been taken. He fell off backwards and he died. But the point is, when the Lord was beginning to deal with the boy Samuel, he literally heard the voice of the Lord in such a way that he went three times to Eli, and Eli said, well, I didn't call you. And the final time he said, say, Here I am, Lord, your servant hears or is listening. And then we know in Job, the 42nd chapter, verse 5, Job, after his experience and ordeal, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He was speaking to the Lord, but now mine eye seeth thee. So we see there was a very, God was dealing with people under the old covenant in a sensual way, in terms of they could see, they could hear him. We know that there was an actual physical manifestation of God's presence on Mount Sinai. When the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, the people of Israel actually saw the manifestation of the presence of God. I'm going to take a moment just to turn quickly to Exodus, the 19th chapter. And it says in verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And so there was a dramatic demonstration to the people of Israel, the very presence of God. And then another amazing passage. Again, we're talking about God revealing himself in sensory, perceptible ways to the people of God. We turn over to Exodus, the 24th chapter. And in verse 9, it says, Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw, we're talking about what? That's 73, four people. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he, the Lord, laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. They were actually eating and drinking, having a meal in the very presence of God. And we see throughout the dealings of God with Israel in the wilderness wanderings that he showed his presence by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And when the cloud moved, well, the children of Israel, they packed up camp and moved and followed the cloud. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. We also know as we progress through the prophets, we come to the great ministry of that of Elijah. And remember, there was a dramatic demonstration of the God of Israel. He gathered all the Baal prophets together on Carmel, and he said, The God that be God, let him answer by fire. And the fire of God came down, not only consumed the sacrifice, but lapped up the water and the very rocks that the sacrifice was laid upon. And then we know that, of course, Jezebel threatened his life because of the destruction of the Baal prophets. He took off, was hiding in a cave, and God comes to him and he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And we see again another manifestation of divine power. There was fire, there was an earthquake, there was a great and mighty wind, but it says God was none in any of those manifestations. And we see the beginnings of God's dealing with man in a new way. God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. And I'm spending a lot of time laying a foundation to show us how God, in the Word of God, how he dealt with his people under the Old Covenant. We also know in the tabernacle of the wilderness, which Moses had the pattern shown to him when he was in the Mount of God, and there was an outer court, an inner court, a holy place, and the holiest of holies, that's where the Ark of the Testimony was, the Ark of the Covenant that was overlaid with gold, and within it was placed the tables of testimony. testimony, the Ten Commandments that God gave on stone tablets. There was the rod of Aaron that budded. There was the pot that held the manna. And this was where there were cherubim over, and this was where the high priest came once a year to offer on the great Day of Atonement, to offer a blood sacrifice that the people's sins could be covered for 1 year. We know that the Ark of the Covenant was very holy. That's where the manifest presence of God came, the Shekinah glory of God. There is a passage I'd like for us to look at in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, verse 21. And we know that sometimes God would give victory to his people when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle, that there was victory given. And in this 4th chapter, let me start reading now at verse 5. It says, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, now they were battling against the Philistines, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp, and the Philistines were afraid. And they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. And he goes on, they go on to say, be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews. At any rate, we know the Ark of God was taken, and the daughter-in-law of the high priest Eli, who was married to Phinehas, she gave birth, because the Philistines actually captured the Ark of God, and said, she named that boy child Ichabod, for the glory had departed. And we know also from Scripture that the Ark of God did not remain long in the camp of the Philistines. But we're going to have to pick this up on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope that you can be with me. The announcer now is going to give our contact information. If you have prayer requests, I invite you to write. If you are blessed by the broadcast, I know you'll be blessed by the ministry of the correspondence that God has given. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.